A judge orders a new trial for a man who was convicted of shooting a police officer in 2007.
Plus, a husband and wife face charges in a deadly hit and run that killed a 12-year-old girl. We'll hear from the sister of Samantha Briggs.
And two women reach a settlement with the Raleigh Police Department over a SWAT-style raid at their homes.
We have breaking news right now at noon. A Durham man convicted of shooting a Durham police officer in 2007 will get a new trial. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. After spending 15 years behind bars, Kevin Johnson will soon be free. WRAL was the only television station in court when Johnson's family heard news that his conviction was thrown out. Durham reporter Sarah Kruger took these pictures of the family's reaction. Johnson was convicted of shooting an officer after a break-in at an apartment on Cherry Crest Drive. The officer survived the shooting. WRAL was in court for the hearing when it began Tuesday. His attorney, Chris Mumma with the NC Center on Actual Innocence, says she's 100% certain her client is innocent. The Durham DA's office has 60 days to decide whether to proceed with a new trial. WRO Sarah Kruger is speaking with Johnson's family as they await his release from jail. Look for her live reports on our news starting at 4. Also new this noon, Raleigh police have charged a husband and wife for a hit and run that killed a girl 6 months ago.
12-year-old Samantha Briggs was killed the day after Thanksgiving, and today a couple will appear in court to answer to the judge. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is live in downtown Raleigh right now. Chelsea, what led the officer to the couple?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment. First, I want to show you the scene here. This is at the 6500 block of Hillsborough Street where Samantha Briggs was struck and killed on November 25th. It was just one day after her birthday. You can see a small memorial they put up here. She was struck and killed by a car that then left the scene. Like I said, she had just turned 12. Now, a husband and a wife are charged with hitting and killing her and then covering up the evidence in that crime. This is 12-year-old Samantha Briggs, a highly skilled dancer. Her family says she was walking with friends that night on Hillsborough Street to grab some snacks at the store for a sleepover when tragedy struck. Police have been investigating this case for months. But about a month ago, on May the 12th, Raleigh police were back on the scene here, setting up a checkpoint where they were handing out flyers regarding the incident to drivers, just in hopes to drum up a lead. That operation actually led them to this couple, 27-year-old Blanca Escobar Roblero and 26-year-old Wilmer Morales Escobar. Both of them live in Cary. Warrants allege that Blanca hit the little girl, called her husband, and then she fled the scene. Then her husband allegedly burned that car that hit Samantha Briggs. Today, I spoke with Samantha's sister about this long-awaited arrest.
6 months of just tears and pain and just trying to figure out who, why, what, you know, just how could you just flee a scene like that? I definitely feel a little closure, but, I mean, it won't bring her back.
Now, those suspects are both in jail. She's jailed on a $50,000 bond, her husband on a $10,000 bond. They'll go before a judge today at 2 for a first court appearance. We'll be there, and bring you the latest on WRAL News at 4. Jeff.
A bit of a long way to justice for that family. Chelsea Donovan live on Hillsborough Street. Chelsea, thank you. A third brother linked to the murder of Wake County Deputy Ned Byrd appeared before the judge this morning through a video camera. The judge set bond for Rolando Marin Sotelo at $1 million. He's already been in a Durham jail cell since last fall on a federal detainer. Next court date set for him is June 22nd at 9 a.m.
Two women have reached a settlement with the Raleigh Police Department over an illegal raid. Civil rights advocates filed the lawsuit on behalf of two women, Yolanda Irving and Kenya Walton, after their home was raided using a no-knock warrant in May 2020. WRAL's Shelley Jackson joins us live from downtown. Shelley, walk us through what the deal covers.
Well, that settlement is $350,000 between Yolanda Irving, Kenya Walton, and the city of Raleigh. Now, at the time, both women were bus drivers for the Wake County Schools. The lawsuit stems from an incident in 2020. It claimed officers with the Selective Enforcement Unit forced themselves into the East Raleigh homes of the two women using a no-knock warrant. According to court documents, Irving's children feared for their lives and thought they were going to be shot and killed by officers. Irving said that in the lawsuit, she was terrified that officers were going to shoot her son, who is in a wheelchair, because he was not able to comply with officers' orders to get on the floor. Attorneys said the officers were acting on bogus information from an informant at the time, and the officer who hired the informant, Omar Abdullah, has since been fired. And I reached out to the city for a comment on this, and they said they do not comment on active lawsuits. At this time, it is still considered active because it has to be approved by the city council as well as insurers. Renee?
Shelley Jackson, live this morning. Thank you.
And it's happening right now in the WREL Life Center. We have an update to a story from back in January, an autopsy report for a gang member that was shot and killed on New Year's Day revealed that he was heavily intoxicated at the time that he was killed. We do have video of the scene for you here. Jonas Padilla was a member of the Pagans motorcycle gang. His toxicology report says his blood alcohol level was at a 0.3. Padilla was shot in the chest and leg. He was thrown from his motorcycle, transported to the hospital, but he did die from his injuries. Five men were charged with murder, robbery with a dangerous weapon, and conspiracy robbery with a dangerous weapon in the shooting death of Padilla.
A first-of-its-kind soccer tournament kicks off today in Cary. Thousands of fans are gathering at Wake Med Soccer Park for the start of the soccer tournament. 32 star-filled teams, including one owned by Ryan Reynolds and another coached by Mia Hamm, all competing for a shot at a $1 million winner-take-all prize. WRL's Brian Schrader is in the traffic center with the delays that we can all experience if we're around that area, Brian.
Yeah, need to keep this in mind through the weekend. Now, if you're going to the soccer tournament, you need to buy your parking passes online. They are not going to be available at Wake Med Soccer Park, and they are separate from your admission ticket. You can expect delays along Chatham Street through the weekend right there around the Wake Med Soccer Park area. And keep in mind that they have morning and evening games through Saturday, so you could see delays there day and night. Sunday's championship game is in the mid-afternoon, so you want to keep that in mind. If you want to avoid all of that traffic, consider using Carytown Boulevard, Chapel Hill Road, or Wade Avenue as good alternate routes between Raleigh and Cary. Jeff.
All right, Brian, thanks for that update. We'll be sure to take note.
Incredible video out of Cary where a massive tree fell onto a house on Alicary Court this morning. WRL's Naya Harden sets the scene for us and reports on how the residents are doing after the scary incident.
Two people were inside this home on Alicary when it happened. This is just off of Walnut. We're being told one person was taken to the hospital and had received minor injuries. We're not sure if they've been released from the hospital just yet, but we do know that these two people are now displaced out of their home because of what happened here. You can see the damage, even some parts of the inside of the home. We'll keep you updated as we get information. Naya Harden, WRL News in Cary.
Lucky, that's how you might describe this plane crash in Detroit. A small plane crashed in between two garages in Detroit Wednesday afternoon. The fixed-wing single-engine plane came down in this residential neighborhood. Authorities say the pilot was aiming for a nearby field when the pilot realized there was trouble. No one was injured in this landing.
That's pretty amazing. The bipartisan debt ceiling deal assembled by President Biden and Speaker Kevin McCarthy is headed to the Senate. The House overwhelmingly approved the measure yesterday by almost a 3-1 vote. And Bree Jackson reports some Republicans plan to introduce amendments which could delay its passage.
The bill is passed.
And with that gavel, the debt limit agreement passes the House with overwhelming bipartisan support. House Speaker Kevin McCarthy taking a victory lap.
This is the biggest cut and savings this Congress has ever voted for.
Many hardline Republicans opposed the bill, but House Democrats helped push it through. In a statement, President Biden praised the House and urged the Senate to vote quickly, saying the agreement is a bipartisan compromise. Neither side got everything it wanted. The hard-fought deal faces even more pushback in the upper chamber.
This deal begs the question, with Republicans like these, who needs Democrats?
This agreement is nowhere near as bad as the Republican original proposal, which would have been devastated But I think for a variety of reasons, the no vote is right.
Senator Shelley Moore Capito tells me she backs the bill.
You have to look at this. Do you want to govern or do you want to stay in a position where you can't win? And I'd rather take the win, and this is a win.
Others are on the fence.
I got to go through all the details. Every time you turn over the rock, there's something else slimy under it.
With the June 5th deadline looming, Congress must act fast in order to avoid a potentially catastrophic debt default.
In North Carolina, Congresswoman Deborah Ross missed the vote due to COVID. Representative Ross tested positive on Tuesday, and she tweeted that she would not be able to vote this week since proxy voting had ended. Although she missed the vote, Congresswoman Ross says she supported the bipartisan agreement. We take a look at how this is affecting stocks right now, Thursday of our trading week here. And you can see the Dow Jones Industrial Average right on time. You know, it spent the morning in negative territory. It is up 202 points right now this noon.
Four Wake County Public Schools may be making changes to address a history of low performance. The State Board of Education will vote today on a request from Wake Schools to add Centennial Campus Middle, Diller Drive Middle, Lockhart Elementary, and Wakeland Elementary to the state's Restart program. That would give the schools funding to operate like charter schools with the hope they will innovate and become more successful. 154 schools statewide are already part of the program. A local group is helping to make sure children are fed this summer while they're out of school. The Cora Food Pantry in Chatham County says it is providing free groceries through its program called Snack. It provides 21 free meals each week. You can sign up for this program through Cora's website. The first distribution will be June 12th and will go through the beginning of August.
Next at noon, the public will not find out details in the case of a Missouri teen shot when he knocked on the wrong door. Why the judge ordered the information sealed.
Also, a truckload of leafy greens was no match for Border Patrol. What was found hidden in a shipment of kale?
Plus, AI gone wrong when a chatbot on a helpline starts spewing harmful information. What the national organization did to shut it down. Elizabeth.
Early this morning, we started to see a band of clouds from the northeast sliding southwestward across the area. You can see it looks fairly cloudy in Durham. Some places are seeing a bit more sunshine. I'll show you what you should see and how it will affect our temperatures through the afternoon coming up.
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
A judge in Missouri has ordered information sealed in the case of a teen who was shot when he knocked on the wrong door by mistake. 16-year-old Ralph Yarl faces a long recovery. He was shot in the head and arm in April after going to the wrong address to pick up his siblings. Sarah Plake reports some lawyers say the move was necessary to ensure the defendant gets a fair trial.
Clay County Judge Lewis Engels said Andrew Lester, who was accused of shooting 16-year-old Ralph Yarl, may not be able to get a fair trial because of all the attention on the case. In his ruling to seal the case, Engels said the statements from people demanding justice, quote, implicitly communicate to the public that the alleged actions of the defendant are indefensible.
Justice is hard, but justice has to be even-handed, and it's necessary sometimes to put a blanket over the proceedings so it goes forward with a certain degree of civility.
Attorney Kevin Jameson, who is not involved in the Lester case, says he understands why the judge sealed the case. This means the public won't be able to use online resources like CaseNet and see what documents each side files in this case.
Motions and some of the behind-the-scenes workings of the trial will not be available as they are in any other case. Anybody can get on CaseNet and see what's going on in any other case.
In his ruling, the judge cited threats to Lester's life, people texting him to the point he had to change phone numbers, and threats to his wife's safety. Engel said this could have a chilling effect on witnesses being willing to come forward for various reasons. The judge also considered that just about every major news outlet in the country has reported extensively on this case, which could also impact a fair trial.
Things of this nature indicate that there should be a calming influence on the case, and the only tool the judge has to do that is to seal the case.
The Clay County Prosecutor's Office sent us a statement saying, quote, "We can assure the public that our office will continue to be as transparent as legally permitted throughout this process," and saying that their focus is on getting justice.
That was Sarah Plake reporting. Lester is due in court today. He could face up to life in prison if convicted of first-degree assault.
A bond hearing is scheduled for today for a Maryland teen charged with attacking another teen on a school bus and a murder in Washington, D.C. Authorities arrested the 15-year-old who goes by the name Baby K. He's charged as an adult with attempted murder for allegedly trying to shoot a 14-year-old on a middle school bus on May 1st. Authorities arrested him about 30 minutes away from the school bus incident. And two teenage boys and a 14-year-old girl who police say set up the attack are also in custody, charged as adults.
We have 15 and 14-year-olds running about our community at 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, armed and dangerous, unaccountable, and unafraid. None of us feel safe. I don't feel safe stopping at a gas station to get gas.
Police are now investigating how Baby K was able to hide out for nearly a month. As for the D.C. murder case, police say the woman killed days after the bus assault was the sister of one of the co-defendants in custody.
A former game show contestant will be sentenced this summer for killing his estranged wife. It took just 4 hours for the jury to convict Timothy Blifnick of first-degree murder and home invasion. Rebecca Blifnick was found shot to death inside her Illinois home after she failed to pick her children up from school. In 2020, Timothy was a contestant on Family Feud, and host Steve Harvey asked him what was the biggest mistake he made at his wedding. And Blifnick answered, saying, "I do." U.S. Customs and Border Protection found about $38 million worth of meth inside a shipment of vegetables. Agents at the U.S.-Mexico border in California discovered 268 packages of the illegal drug in a shipment of kale. The driver of the tractor trailer was detained, turned over to the custody of Homeland Security investigations for further investigation.
Today is World Reef Awareness Day, an important reminder for us to do our part to help save our oceans. Two simple changes involve using reef-safe sunscreen at the beach and eliminating single-use plastic from your lifestyle. You can learn more about worldreefday.org. Local law enforcement jogged through Wake County this morning to raise money for Special Olympics North Carolina. Deputies are joining Zebulon, Knightdale, and Raleigh police for the 10-mile leg of the Flame of Hope run. You're looking at Sky 5 video of that run as it began around 8 o'clock this morning. And the officers carry the torch from Little River Park to New Bern Avenue. And the final stretch of the run to the state capitol will take place tomorrow. Same day the statewide summer games begin, and WRL's Ken Smith will be MC for that opening ceremony.
That is awesome. Hey, good weather. Got away with it today.
And we're easing into some of the hottest months of the year, but we're just easing into June lightly. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center with what is known as meteorological summer. I cannot say it.
And what in the world does that mean anyway? Because summer doesn't officially start until June 21st. But we look at meteorological summer starting the 1st of June because when you look at the temperature profile throughout the year, June just looks a whole lot more like summer. It doesn't really start, especially around here, on June 21st. But it officially starts on June 21st because of the position of the Earth as it rotates around the sun. So that is why calendar summer starts on June 21st, but meteorological summer starts today, 20 more days until official summer. So here's a look at Wilson. The wind has started to die down a little bit. It was pretty breezy here just even a few minutes ago when I pulled up this camera. Lots of cloud cover. We started clear this morning, but we've ended up with a pretty strong northeasterly flow, pumping in some moisture from the off the Atlantic, and I'm going to show you that in just a minute. 75 degrees. Our temperatures, I think, would be a little warmer than that if we had sunshine, and we are seeing some sun breaking out in a few places, but Wilson is one of the places where the clouds are pretty thick right now. Our dew point 62 in the triangle, and our temperatures should climb into the 80-degree range this afternoon as long as we break out of the clouds. That means that around Goldsboro, Rocky Mount, South Hill, the temperatures may be a little bit cooler than they will be, say, from Durham and Raleigh westward. Now, this is a look at the wind speeds. No gusts. The gusts
gusts are usually in the white box, but we don't have gusts out there. But it's a little, you know, on the breezy side, 5 to 10, 11 miles per hour out of the northeast. And boy, you can see that. Take a look at the satellite picture. Watch those clouds spreading westward on that northeasterly wind. Of course, we call it northeasterly because it's coming out of the northeast. So from Raleigh westward, we're seeing partly cloudy skies, and it's pretty clear even west of this. But if you're, say, along and east of the I-95 corridor, it's pretty cloudy because you're a lot closer to that flow that's coming off the Atlantic with that moisture in it. So 75 in Durham and Raleigh, 77 Fayetteville, 74 in Southern Pines, but it's 71 in Goldsboro and 70 in South Hill where those clouds are a little bit thicker. Around town today, I'm hoping to get to 81 in Raleigh-Durham, 84 in Fayetteville. It'll just depend on how much more cloud cover we see through the afternoon. So we'll call it mostly cloudy with some breaks. The Durham Bulls play the next three nights, and the weather looks fine. I'm going to show you our potential for some showers coming up, but things are looking pretty good. 77 today, 81 Friday, 84 on Saturday at 6:30 as the game kicks off. Here's a look at Futurecast, and you can see, you know, right about here is the line, but watch how we start to see the clouds breaking up at around 3 o'clock and a couple of isolated showers in the northeast, some of those moving across Durham and Raleigh, but our chance for rain today is really pretty minimal. 84 is our normal high. We're going to be above that on Saturday. We have yet to hit a 90-degree day in at RDU this year, and I don't think we're going to hit it this weekend. We're going to see a nice drop in our humidity Sunday and Monday after that front moves through. And coming up in about 30 minutes, we'll walk through Saturday. I'll show you the front and how much rain we could see with it. It looks pretty light.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Coming up on WRL News at 5 p.m., if you thought your home insurance premiums would get cheaper over time, think again. Bills are projected to climb about 7% this year. Five on Your Side is here to help with steps you can take right now to reduce your payments.
And at 5:30, a Triangle business faces six citations after one of its employees died on the job. Hear what that man's parents are saying about what happened to their son. Plus, still ahead this noon, Walmart offering its health professionals pay raises, the added benefits that make this offer even more enticing for opticians and pharmacists.
And the technical issues delaying Spirit Airlines today. We'll let you know about the ripple effect at RDU International.
/12:25, and these clouds stretch all the way to Bladen County. We have them here in the Triangle as well. As you look live, this is White Lake here, watching WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. An important recall that safety officials are warning is a matter of life or death. Five on Your Side found several types of fire extinguisher balls being sold on Amazon, claiming to put out small fires in seconds, even activating automatically if you're not around. But several of these products can reportedly fail, and they don't have standard safety features that come on a typical fire extinguisher. To get rid of the fireballs, take them to a local fire department or hazardous waste disposal facility. You can find more about this recall and others. Five on Your Side has reported. Just go to WRL.com, search recall.
Amazon will pay more than $30 million to settle two federal lawsuits over privacy violations from the FTC. $25 million will go to settle a lawsuit alleging Amazon's Alexa unit kept voice and geolocation data of children for years. That's a violation of a federal privacy protection act. And Amazon's Ring unit is paying $5.8 million for allowing employees to watch videos of customers from their Ring cameras. One Ring employee was said to have viewed thousands of recordings of female users through Ring cameras assigned to bedrooms and bathrooms. Opticians and pharmacists at Walmart are getting pay raises. Starting Saturday, the average wage for opticians will be $22.50 an hour. Walmart is also helping opticians prepare for their training and certification and will cover those costs. The retailer has already boosted pay for their pharmacists. The average salary is now more than $140,000 a year, excluding incentives and bonuses.
Spirit Airlines website, app, and airport kiosks are all down right now. It is experiencing technical difficulties. The airline tweeted about the issue about 3 hours ago, saying if you have a flight today, arrive early because they're expecting long lines. At RDU, the Spirit flight to Orlando that was supposed to take off in about an hour is now canceled. The other Spirit flight leaving RDU tonight is a flight to Fort Lauderdale, and that is currently on schedule. Sweden is clearing the air, the distinction that could give it the first title of its kind in Europe.
Plus, many health organizations are turning to chatbots to help keep up with demand. But one company is temporarily pulling the plug after the system reinforced harmful behavior. First, here's a look at the winning lottery numbers. Stay with us. Happening right now in the WREL Live Center, some huge news for online sports gambling right here in North Carolina. The Senate has given final approval to a bill that would legalize online sports betting here in our state. The NC House will concur with Senate-made changes, paving the way for NC to join a growing number of states that have online gambling. The Senate did vote 37-11 for final passage on Tuesday morning. House Speaker Tim Moore says the House will concur early next week, either Tuesday or Wednesday.
Thanks for that, Michelle. A man is dead and another is in the hospital after an early morning shooting. This happened just after 1 a.m. on South Roxborough Street. And Eric Miller was there all morning in the WRL Breaking News Tracker as police looked all over that area.
It's been a very long morning for investigators here in the Cornwallis Apartments. This double shooting leaving evidence scattered all over the scene. If you take a look at this video, you can see at least 25 evidence markers laid out by members of the forensics team. Durham police first got the call right around 1 a.m. They got out here, found two men shot, very serious injuries. Both were rushed to the hospital. One man later died. Now, the Cornwallis Apartments are no strangers to violence. Another man was shot here just over a week ago. Right now, there's no word that these two shootings are connected. We're continuing to press Durham police for more information in this case, including the names of the victims, as well as any suspects they have at this time. We'll bring you that information as soon as we get it. In Durham, Eric Miller, WRAL News.
Halifax County deputies need your help finding a man who they say shot into a car that had a woman and one-year-old child inside. The sheriff's office says arrest warrants have been issued for Trevor Phillips. Investigators say that shooting happened Sunday at Vincent Circle. Thankfully, the woman and child were not hurt. Deputies say this was not a random shooting.
North Carolina Democrats are calling a Republican lawmaker to apologize after he said a Democratic representative was affiliated with the Church of Satan. During the heated debate over abortion in the state house earlier this month, Representative Keith Kidwell joked that Representative Diamond Staten Williams was associated with the Church of Satan. Staten Williams, a registered nurse, had just spoken about her Christian faith and her experience in getting the procedure. On Wednesday, one lawmaker criticized Kidwell for staying silent.
That silence has been deafening and, in my view, hangs over this chamber like a dark cloud.
When asked directly about it by WREL, Representative Kidwell walked away without saying anything. Because of his remarks, Kidwell no longer holds a leadership position in his caucus. U.S. Senator Bernie Sanders will be in Durham tonight, pushing for a higher federal minimum wage. Sanders represents Vermont, and he wants it set at $17 an hour. He says it's crucial that Americans are paid more, calling the current minimum wage an injustice. Sanders will be joined by Bishop William Barber at tonight's rally. It's set for 7 p.m. at the Hayti Heritage Center. This is one of three events Sanders is holding across North Carolina, South Carolina, and Tennessee.
Our county-by-county coverage this afternoon takes us to Moore, Fayetteville, and Lee counties. Moore County Board of Education's Uniform Committee met this week for the first time. Board member Shannon Davis suggested last month that the board consider requiring school uniforms. She says there's evidence that mandatory uniforms reduce student bullying, decrease discipline issues, and improve grade performance. Starting today, the Cumberland County Department of Social Services is offering free box fans to eligible citizens. Fans are for people who don't have air conditioning. Visit the Department of Social Services in person or call to complete an assessment. The department is also accepting donations of new box fans. Find out more at ccdssnc.com or call the number on your screen. And the city's summer concert series returns to Sanford this evening. Each week through August 24th, a different band or bands will be featured. This week, Plank Road Band will take the stage at Depot Park starting at 6:30, and there's no charge.
A national organization recently decided to use artificial intelligence to staff its helpline for those with an eating disorder. But the experiment was abruptly stopped when the AI chatbot started providing information that may have been harmful. Scott Budman explains how developers plan to troubleshoot rather than end this program.
The plan? To help the human staff of the National Eating Disorder Association's hotline by adding an automated chatbot using artificial intelligence.
Eating disorders are more prevalent than ever.
But things didn't go according to plan.
People, I think they want a human voice.
Janice Bremis, executive director of San Jose's Eating Disorder Resource Center, says she was skeptical of the idea to replace an empathetic human with a bot.
When people talk to me on the line, they always say, gosh, I feel that you understand, you know, I feel, and they'll just be relieved.
Earlier this week, the National Eating Disorder Association and researchers on the project say a bug led to the bot straying from the rules. The AI was able to generate its own responses, some of which were inappropriate.
Some of these screenshots that have gone out there about the chatbot recommending dieting or restricting a certain number of calories, of course, were never part of the chatbot that we developed or evaluated.
So the bot program has been pulled for now, but both sides agree that with funding hard to come by, the program to help those with eating disorders needs help.
I do think that we've shown that we can develop this tool with guardrails to have really helpful conversations with people.
And both agree in time, technology can be part of the solution.
We can't judge because they're trying something new, and that's always a good thing to experiment. That's what health and science is all about.
That was Scott Budman reporting. The rule-based chatbot is programmed with a limited set of possible responses. Developers believe it is possible to train AI to identify and respond better to questions.
Teen birth rate in the U.S. has hit a historic low. That's according to the CDC. Teen birth rates have been falling for more than three decades. Meanwhile, birth rates among Americans in their mid-30s and 40s have increased. The birth rate for individuals over 45 surpassed one birth per 1,000 population for the first time in a decade. The trend of individuals aged 40 to 44 having babies has continued since 1985. Smoking rates have dropped significantly in the U.S. and all over the world.
When we come back, we'll tell you why one country in Europe is ahead of everyone else when it comes to kicking the habit.
Also ahead, a daily practice that helped a five-year-old boy with Down syndrome improve his communication skills dramatically.
Happening right now in the WREL Live Center. Three people still remain unaccounted for 4 days after an Iowa apartment complex collapsed. Two people who were previously unaccounted for have been found, but three others, including two who lived in the crash zone, remain missing today. The six-story building partially collapsed on Sunday, and the city has since released documents that show the building's owner was warned that parts of that building were unstable.
Thanks, Michelle. Sweden is within reach of a significant health milestone. It could soon become the first smoke-free country in Europe. Sweden hopes to hit that mark of fewer than 5% of daily smokers. Right now, 5.6% of smokers are over the age of 15, but the rate continues to decline. Smoking is prohibited in outdoor locations like bus stops, public buildings, and hospitals in Sweden. Canada takes smoking warnings a step further. The country will soon become the first in the world to have warning labels printed on each cigarette. Warnings like poison in every puff, tobacco smoke harms children, and cigarettes cause impotence will be printed in English and French. New health-related graphics will also appear on packages of tobacco. The government wants to reduce tobacco use to below 5% by the year 2035.
Everyone needs a pep talk every once in a while. But for one five-year-old, his daily affirmations are making a huge impact.
I
much.
Yes, you are smart.
5-year-old Cohen Norden and his nanny have been saying daily affirmations nearly every day for the past year. Before the affirmations, she says Cohen was nonverbal and had very limited speech. She says she got the idea from TikTok and thought it would help support him through his journey with Down syndrome.
You almost need someone like Cohen in your life to show you that they are just as capable, if not more, of everything that I can do, everything that everyone else can do. They just have to work a little harder.
You're going to have a good day.
Good day.
And that's what he'll say. I'm going to have a good day. Eva has worked as a nanny for the Norden family for a year and a half. In that time, they say she's become family. Eva starts grad school in the fall, studying language and speech pathology, and hopes to work with more children like Cohen.
He's got a voice, doesn't he? Championship golf in Raleigh, the historic layout with a brand new event. A live interview with the UNC Health Championship Tournament Director is next with all today's local connections.
Plus, some big names are headed to the Triangle this weekend for a celebrated festival. Coming up, when you can take part in a celebration of African and African-American history, culture, and traditions.
Welcome back this noon. The start of today's UNC Health Championship means a new name for this stop on the PGA Tour, a new venue on tour. A storied course, though, Raleigh Country Club. It's just behind me, behind those big buildings right there, a little ways away. It's in city limits, brimming with action as of 6:45 this morning. And tournament director Brian Crusoe joins us now. Brian, it's largely out of your hands now as the tournament director. All the planning and the preparation, the first round is underway. So give us a sense of what it took for this community to come together and get it to this point.
Yeah, hi, Jeff. It's been a long road. We've been planning this event for over a year now and are really excited to see things finally kick off. Like you mentioned, we're in a new home here at Raleigh Country Club, a beautiful course that's only a few miles from downtown. And already today we've seen a lot of people out here enjoying the tournament. So I think there's a real buzz around this new venue. And we're proud to bring this one of the most exciting new events to Raleigh at UNC Health.
I love hearing that folks have been there all week for some of the practice rounds and things like that. And people may remember the Rex Hospital Open. It was in Wake Forest, the previous location for the Corn Ferry Tour to come through here. This venue, it's great for golf. It's great for the people who get out there. It's walkable. It's near downtown. It checks a lot of boxes, doesn't it?
It does. I think people will really enjoy this new venue. We had a great tournament for a long time at Wakefield and raised a lot of money. And here, it's a very special venue. It's more convenient, closer to downtown and all surrounding areas. This course is a Donald Ross design, which it's fantastic. You can see in the photos, you can get around easily. The views are beautiful. And we really think there's going to be an energy around this tournament, kind of like Augusta National, where there's action happening in all directions. So I think people will really enjoy our new home here. It's one of the top courses in North Carolina and in the top couple here in the Triangle.
Getting a lot of folks out there touting today as Love Local Day. What does that mean?
Well, this tournament has always been about giving back, providing something special for our community. And we're coming to a new part of Raleigh now, and we're making a real effort to get connected with community partners. And today just highlights some of those new partnerships that we have. The First Tee is a longtime partner. The Post Center is right down the street. They do great work, the Boys and Girls Clubs, Southeast Raleigh Promise, the YMCA. So we're really making an effort to involve our entire community here, giving them a chance to come out and fundraise for their causes.
And I certainly understand, as this being the only Corn Ferry stop in North Carolina for this season, and folks may not realize that the players that they'll watch in this tournament, there's a good bunch of them that will qualify automatically and play on the big PGA Tour for next year. Brian Crusoe, Tournament Director, congratulations on landing it here in Raleigh, and good luck this week. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, Renee.
Should be some great days for golf. Not too hot, not too cold, as we begin a new month. And around here, we know what June 1st means, the start of hurricane season. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRO Severe Weather Center.
The interesting thing about this hurricane season is the first one since 2014 that we haven't already had a named storm. So we're still waiting on Arlene. We do have this system that was bumped up to a 50% chance over the next 5 days. That happened late in our morning newscast.
And so, you know, it's a chance. We'll see. I don't hold out a whole lot of hope this is going to become Arlene, but it's a, or I shouldn't hope. Anyway, I'm not sure that it will become Arlene, but anyway, that's the next name on the list. We take a look at the model plots. If it does become Arlene, it is likely to move to the south, potentially toward Cuba, or possibly toward the southern tip of Florida. So it's something, obviously, that we will watch until it is no longer an issue. Again, the next name, the first name on the list is Arlene. Let's take a look at what's happening across our area. When I pulled this up about 15 minutes or so ago, you could see a lot more sunshine around Apex and Chapel Hill. We continue to see this cloud cover, like I showed you about half an hour ago, that's coming in out of the northeast. And all these cameras, Goldsboro, Apex, Chapel Hill, Fayetteville, all looking a little bit cloudier right now. When we take a look at what's going to happen as we jump into the weekend, I'm tracking a cold front that's going to drop in on us on Saturday. And we're taking a look at Saturday. This is 3 o'clock. This is a front that's going to start up into Virginia and drift southward. And you can see an isolated shower starts to pop up between 3 and 5. And then we get into a little bit more coverage during the evening. So there's 7 p.m. We push it on out to 9, 10, 11 o'clock. So it's going to be mostly an evening event, potentially. We'll have more runs of the computer models, of course, in the next 48 hours before that front comes on in. Some of the models are starting to show, you know, a more significant amount of rain on Saturday evening. So just keep checking back if you have plans second half of the day on Saturday. If you're headed to the beaches on Saturday, right now they're looking okay, 10 to 20% chance of rain. The ocean temperatures are still on the cool side. We give it another month and those ocean temperatures are nice and warm, and that does affect the temperatures right there on the beaches. But for now, looking at temperatures in the mid to upper 70s, Emerald Isle to Wrightsville to Nag's Head. Checking the mountain forecast, same story, an isolated shower, thunderstorm, you know, pop up on Saturday or Sunday. Warmer in Asheville at 86, but then with the higher elevation of Boone and Linville, temperatures are likely to be in the mid to upper 70s. Checking temperatures here, looking at 81 this afternoon, especially if we break out of the clouds. Honestly, if we end up not breaking out of the clouds really around RDU, we may struggle to hit 81. It may be more like 78, 79. Tomorrow, 83, 88 on Saturday with some late day storms. Sunday's looking nice, mostly cloudy, but a few breaks in the clouds. 76 and a nice drop in our humidity, and then we're back into the 80s again Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But our chances for rain are pretty slim. We could see an isolated shower this afternoon or Friday. Stick around. We'll be back with your top stories.
We want to correct a story we reported earlier in this noon broadcast. We received autopsy results for 37-year-old Jonas Padilla, who was shot to death while riding his motorcycle in January. While Padilla did have a 0.03 level of alcohol in his blood system when he died, that is below the legal limit.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. Warrants indicate a Cary couple burned their car to hide the evidence after a hit and run that killed a child on Hillsborough Street in Raleigh last November. The crash killed 12-year-old Samantha Briggs the day after Thanksgiving. Bianca Escobar Ribeiro and Wilmer Morales Ribeiro are due in court in about an hour.
A judge ordered a new trial for a man convicted of shooting a Durham police officer in 2007. After spending more than 15 years behind bars, Kevin Johnson will be getting out of prison tomorrow. Both Johnson's attorneys and prosecutors agree there were concerns about the evidence in his trial. Officer D.B. Vereen was shot in the back and arm while responding to a break-in. He survived.
A first-of-its-kind soccer tournament kicks off today in Cary. Thousands of fans are gathering at Wake Med Soccer Park for the start of the soccer tournament. 32 star-filled teams, including one owned by Ryan Reynolds and another coached by Mia Hamm. They're competing for a shot at a million-dollar winner-take-all prize.
Our pet of the day comes to us from the SPCA of Wake County. Copper is a very special 8-month-old puppy looking for a home. He was paralyzed as a newborn and is unable to use his back legs. Despite that, Copper is a social butterfly. He would love to find a family. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org.
That look.
Oh, so cute. NBC News Daily is next on WREL. Your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Get local breaking news updates anytime with our WREL News app. Have a great day.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.